Hi, folks. Welcome back. Great to be together again. Have you ever wanted to please someone? Isn't that what we do on like special days such as birthdays and Valentine's Day and Mother's Day and Father's Day or just special days? We want to please and bless that person. To please someone, we do all those things we know they would like done. We might bake them a special cake or maybe their favorite cake, or buy them flowers or their favorite flowers or chocolates. We might wash Dad's car on Father's Day for him and maybe do the dishes for Mom. We just do those special things. One thing we would be sure to do was whatever the person asked us. If Mom asked us to take out the garbage on Mother's Day, we would just go, "Sure, Mom, no problem." I remember on Mother's Day, my brother, sister, and I tried really hard not to get in a disagreement and have a fight or an argument, which would get my mom upset. The unfortunate thing is that these are only special days and special events. They only come once a year, so we just try to please the person on those special days, and that just doesn't seem really all that right. Yet it's not only on special days we try to please people. You know, an employee might work really hard to accomplish what the boss has asked, some special task, and he's done it just to please his boss, and that, or she's done it just to please her boss on that one special occasion. Or an employer from time to time might reward their employees for their work. I'd like to say I live to please Kathy, and who's my wife, but the truth is, I fall short so many times. We never seem to live in a way to please people all the time. Yet Paul instructs the Thessalonians to live in a way that pleases God. We read, as we continue on in our study in 1 Thessalonians, we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Finally, brothers, we instruct you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. The Greek here for live in order to please God has the idea of continuing to behave daily, moment by moment, in a manner which pleases God at all times. Paul reveals that the Thessalonians are indeed living this way, and he encourages them to continue to do it even more, if they can. Do it more and more, he says. Paul moves on to share how the Thessalonians can continue to live in a way that pleases God. Paul begins to talk about pleasing God through remaining morally pure. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 8. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this manner no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Paul starts with broad strokes, telling them they should be sanctified. In other words, the word here, sanctified, is to be holy. In fact, he states to live holy lives is God's will for us. This covers a lot of area in our lives, living holy. But Paul quickly narrows that down at this point to being sexually pure, morally pure. Paul addresses sexual behavior as these are new believers in Thessalonica who have come from a culture where there was no strong code of moral ethics when it came to this area. The sexual immorality Paul is asking them to avoid is that of having sexual relations while being married and having those relationships with those other than their partner, than their spouse. What he's really saying is, do not commit adultery. Also, the Greek here encompasses more than that. It encompasses not having sexual relations before marriage. Now, you need to know, Paul's not against sex, as it is something beautiful which God has created for a man and woman once they've become married. We are told that a man and woman become one flesh when they're married, and we read a number of times in the Bible of places where the couple, after they've become one flesh, are to enjoy that physical relationship. Outside of marriage, it's totally a different story. We're in 1 Thessalonians 4:8, as we just read, it is stressed that when we have these relationships outside of marriage, to get caught up in the sin of sexual immorality is a very serious thing. It's like rejecting God. We must control our own sexual desires through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And part of that fruit is self-control. And as we allow the self-control of the Holy Spirit to operate in our lives, we will please God by remaining morally pure. From here, Paul moves on to calling us to please God through brotherly love. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 9 to 10, "Now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, do so more and more." Again, this is something the Thessalonians do, but he encourages them to continue to do it more and more. In other words, you've been showing this brotherly love to everyone, but it would be great if you could just step it up a notch, if you could just love the Christian brothers in the family even more. I believe this is a true statement here for Crossroads. For we show brotherly love to others in God's family, but there's always room for more love. Paul is talking about showing love to those in the family of God. It is the same kind of love we would show to our biological brothers and sisters. It's family love. What I'm talking about is being there for each other all the time. It is walking with others in the good times. It is rejoicing with them in their victories. On the other side, it is being there when things are tough and challenging. Our brother or sister might be going through health issues, maybe relationship challenges with their children or someone else. Maybe they've lost their job or a loved one. It's also connecting with one another. Just keeping in touch, seeing how they're doing, and sending them an encouraging word. We are exhorted in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 11. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. We are to be devoted. Did you hear that? Paul said, we are to be devoted. It must be a priority in our daily lives to love each other. This brotherly love, which Paul writes about to the Romans and Thessalonians, must be sincere and not superficial. If it's just superficial, people will know right away that you don't really care. You don't really have love for them. You're just trying to be polite. And that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about loving one another. It's asking someone how they are doing. And when you find out the challenges that they're going through, we need to pray for them. Not just once and think that's good enough, but we need to continually bring them to the throne of our Father over and over again. And in a practical way, it is staying in touch with the person. It's walking with them, alongside them, as if they are our very own family. And they are. We are a Christian family. Paul encourages the Thessalonians by telling them they were doing a good job of this, but they needed to do it more and more. The question we need to ask God is, how can I love my Christian family more and more? After we ask the question, we just need to sit silently before the Lord and allow Him to speak to us. What is the Father saying to us? How can we love our Christian family more and more? Well, I'm not sure what He might say to us. It could be that we are neglecting part of the family. You know, we have our favorite brothers and sisters, which we stay connected with and in touch with, and that's great, and that's important. But maybe here, when we're asking the Father what we can do more and more to love the family, He's saying, what about the other people in the family that you haven't connected with? Maybe that you haven't phoned for a while, or you haven't gone out for a meal with, or invited them over, or stayed in contact with. Are they the more and more? Folks, you please God with your brotherly love, but continue to do it more and more. Family is so important. Paul shares that we can please God through being holy in controlling our own bodies. We also please God by showing brotherly love to our Christian family. Paul knows it can't stop there, for there are a whole host of people outside of that circle. Paul carries on writing in verses 11 to 12, make it your ambition to lead quiet lives, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not depend on anybody. We must please God with the way we live out our lives in front of those who do not believe in Jesus yet, in order to win their respect. Paul gives us three pieces of advice on how to do this. We have been called to live quiet lives. The Greek here in living a life that is free from disruptions and commotion. Isn't that the fact? Isn't that what we really want? Today, in our culture, people's lives are filled with all sorts of disruptions and commotions. In fact, it seems like we're going five different directions at one time. It can be so chaotic. A quiet life has Jesus as the foundation. He is the solid rock on which we stand and build our lives. Jesus takes first place. Have you heard the term minimalist? It's a person who lives their lives with simplicity, clarity, and singleness. They get rid of everything that doesn't fit into what they need to fill what they desire to do in life. Let me share an example of what this might look like. We had a friend years ago who is a musician. He was a piano teacher, and he was very artsy. And his whole theology of his life, you might put it, was that you took your room or your home and you put your grand piano in first. And then you placed whatever else might fit or need for the piano lessons and everything else. But the grand piano was first place, and everything formed around the grand piano and the music that it produced. In a sense, we need to be minimalists for Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we need to get rid of everything that doesn't have something to do with our faith, but what I'm saying is that Jesus needs to be put into our lives first place. And then things surround out from there. Jesus needs to be first. Living a quiet life for Jesus is putting him there first and getting rid of all those things which cause disruptions, which cause commotion in our lives. Then Paul states, to win the respect of those who don't believe in Jesus yet, we must mind our own business. I believe that sometimes we as Christians do the kingdom of God a huge disservice when we start to try to tell the world how they should live. They know, for the most part, how they are to live without us meddling in their lives. When I worked in the sawmill, and that was when I came to know Jesus, and I had given my life and to the Lord and was trying to live for Him. And boy, I'll tell you, everyone that I worked with knew what I was supposed to do and how my Christian life was supposed to live. I remember one day I got frustrated with somebody and I said either the word darn or drat. I'm not sure what I said, but immediately somebody yelled at me and said, "You swore." They knew they had higher standards on my life than I had. See, for those who don't believe in Jesus yet, the truth is written in their hearts, even if they try to cover it up or ignore it. The truth is there, and they know it. We need to live quiet lives and not meddle in others' lives in order to win their respect. When Paul writes, we can win their respect if we work. That's his next thought. We need to work. And I know there are those here or those listening that for some reason you can't work physically. And that's not for us to judge. But those who can work physically, those who can provide work and provide for their families by working, should work. And I think there's another thought of not just working physically with our hands to provide a means of support, but I personally think that there's also a thought here that we as the church need to work at maintaining the building and the property where we meet as a family. If the building and property look run down and not cared for, what do the people think of us who meet here? We will not win the respect of them. As we do these things, live a quiet life, not meddling in the lives of others, and working, we will win the respect of those not yet in the church. By doing this, we live a life which pleases God. This opens doors for others to come to faith. Living a life that pleases God must be our daily priority. In fact, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the first part of verse 9, so make it our goal. So we make it our goal to please Him. We make it our goal to please God. It must be our daily goal to live a life which pleases God. We live to please God by staying morally pure, by loving other Christians more and more, and by winning the respect of those not yet following Jesus. So the question that I leave us, that I ask myself, and that I ask each one of you is, what do you have to do or change to live a life which pleases God more? Because I know you're pleasing God now. But what do you have to do, as Paul encouraged the Thessalonians, to do it more and more? What do we have to do personally to live a life which pleases God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the truth. We thank you, Father, for your love. And Lord, we want to please you, not out of duty, not because this is what the Word of God says, but we want to please you out of love. We want to please you by being holy, especially holy in our moral life, that we would be morally pure before you. We want to please you in loving our brothers and sisters in this incredible family that you've given us. We want to love them more and more. We don't want to leave one person out. We want to love the whole family, each individual, the same. And we want to please you by winning the respect of those who don't know you yet. Because we know as we please you in these areas, it will open doors for others to come to know you, to find you, to desire you, to build on that solid rock which we talked about, that solid foundation. And they too would live a life to please you. Father, thank you for the opportunity of gathering and hearing your word. In Jesus' name, amen.